Last week we began to discuss the Ramak's definition of Moshe Cordovero, one of the great, great Kabbalists of Tzfas. The Ramak's definition of Malchus. Of what does that mean? How do we serve Hashem with this quality of Malchus? Of kingship, of the kingdom, of what? How do we serve Hashem? What does Malchus mean for us? And he spoke about three things. We're sort of in the middle of it. He spoke about three characteristics of Malchus, three ways that we serve Hashem with Malchus, and then, of course, we see the connection between this and davening and tefillah, and this is bringing us closer and closer to the Malchus of David HaMelech and Mashiach. He spoke about the first aspect of serving Hashem with this quality that's called Malchus. The first aspect is, which we'll discuss more tonight, standing before Hashem in complete, absolute humility. A total sense of humility. Like an ani, a poor man that has nothing at all, which we spoke about last week a lot. A poor man who has nothing of his own. That feeling of being completely helpless, that feeling of being totally empty and dependent upon Hashem, creates a sense of a person being in the presence of the king. Obviously, if the king is the only one you could turn to, if you have absolutely nothing besides that which the king gives you, then you are drawn to his presence, you are drawn to his company. You have to be. Because you know deep down that there's nobody else that can help you. There's no one else who really, really can do anything for you. So because of that, you're drawn to the company of the king, which arouses within the person the second aspect of serving Hashem with Malchus. The second quality is yira, a sense of fear, of awe, pachad, trembling. Obviously, the first leads to the second, because now you're in the presence of the king. If you truly understand that you're standing before Hashem, then you can't help but be filled with a sense of awe, of fear. And the third aspect of Malchus that the Ramak spoke about, which is the most mysterious, which I already began to discuss last week, I've discussed it many times in the past in different ways. The Ramak mentions at the end that in order to draw the Shekhinah into our lives, Shekhinah, as I told you, we'll talk more about the Shekhinah tonight, Shekhinah Kabbalistically is the same as Malchus, corresponds to Malchus. The Shekhinah, that aspect of Hashem's presence in our lives that's called Shekhinah, the Divine Presence, that is Malchus. It's the same. One and the same. And that's the feminine quality in creation. It's the feminine manifestation of Hashem in the world. So the Ramak said that in order to fulfill the Malchus of Hashem, which means to draw God's kingdom into our lives, to draw the Shekhinah, God's presence into our lives, in order to do that, one must seek marriage. One must seek to be married. There should be a chasen and a kala. And it doesn't end when you get married, but in one's relationship, in the relationship between a husband and a wife, that there should be this continuous desire to establish shalom, that there should be good relationships between a husband and a wife. There should be with kedusha, with tahara, with pureness, with holiness. The Ramak said something that was very strange, that I just spoke for a moment about at the end last week, that there's a kala above and there's a kala below. There's a bride above, and there's above each man, and there's a bride below. And the meaning of that, as we spoke about at the end, is that when a person humbles himself and makes himself into nothing more than an impoverished vessel that can only receive. In short, when the person makes himself into a kala, remember that the feminine quality in reality, this has nothing to do with friends of yours or your personality, the feminine quality in creation means a sense of loneliness, of emptiness, of helplessness, a desire to receive. Kala, a bride, is from the word kli, which means a receptacle, a vessel. It's from the word kol, which means all-inclusive, everything, because only the one who is empty can receive everything. If you already have something, then you can't receive. You can receive something, you can't receive everything. A kala can receive everything. Only the one who is an oni, like David HaMelech. Only the person who's like David, who's oni, the yachid oni, who is alone and absolutely poor, is a kala who contains everything. Kala also comes from the word lechalos, which means to destroy, to annihilate. Because the kala also senses the loss of, a certain loss of self, annihilation of one's own intentions, one's own intelligence, one's own desires, and so on, only to receive kol in the kli, to receive everything in that kli. When a Jewish person does this, when a Jewish person stands and screams out to the world and says, "Listen, world, I want you to know that everything that we have is from Him. And if you want anything to come to this world, you have to face Him, you have to speak to Him, you have to stand in His presence, you have to daven. You have to daven." Remember that Malchus means to find Hashem's presence in every little thing. That's what it means, Gilui Kvod Malchuso, to reveal Hashem in everything. So the person who makes himself into an impoverished kala stands trembling before the master of the world and says, "Everything is yours, Hashem. Everything we have is from you." And this person tells the whole world that everything is from him. That's all. And when we do that, when we become the vessels to receive Hashem's blessing, then in doing so, what happens is there is a remarkable transformation that I was talking about at the very end last week, and on this past Shabbos I spoke about for an hour. A remarkable transformation that the kala becomes suddenly a chassan. What does that mean? Because the Shechina, Hashem, Hashem's presence, not His essence, God forbid, but Hashem's presence, how Hashem made the world, is in such a way that He has made Himself dependent upon what we do down below here in this world. And Hashem is waiting in the higher world for us to redeem Him, kivyachol, to let Him out. Every time we speak about Him, every time we call the world to His, to serve Him, to daven, to stand in His presence, that allows Hashem to release His presence into the world. It frees Him from Himself imposed exile, and in doing so, more and more bracha descends into our lives. So Hashem looks to us as a chosn, who depend, as a kala who depends upon her chosn. We are the chosn. We become the chosn. Only when we are initially a kala, and we're empty and longing and hoping and waiting, only when we feel that extraordinary sense of humility and need for Hashem, are we ultimately changed into the chassanim. And the HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to us, make a bracha, daven. And in doing so, the Shechinah is drawn into the world. So this is the avodah of the Jewish people. And this is how Hashem praises us. It says in the pasuk, lo mirubchem mikol ha'amim choshek Hashem bochem. It's not because we are the most populated, that we are the strongest, the greatest, or most numerous of all nations, that Hashem has a desire for us. Lo mirubchem choshek bochem Hashem. Choshek Hashem bochem. It's not because we are so powerful and numerous that Hashem has a cheshik for us, that Hashem longs for us. It's in Devar. So on that pasuk, Chazal say, on that pasuk, our sages taught, Omra Kadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael. Hashem said to Yisrael, Hashem said to the Jewish people, Chashkani Bachem. You know why I love you so much? Chashkani means, you know why I have such a desire for you? Hashem says, the Kala says now to the Chassan. Chassan to the Kala, Kala to the Chassan. You know why I have such a cheshik for you? Imagine being someone that you love with all your heart turning to you and saying, I want to tell you really, really why is it that I love you. That's what Hashem said. You want to know why? Chashkani bachem. Shafil b'shosh, ani mashpia lachem gedula. Because even when I give you greatness, even when I elevate you and give you greatness or wealth and prestige and success, even when I give you all of these things, you make yourselves humble and small before me. You diminish yourselves to receive from me. Even when it's going great, and you feel powerful and secure, and you and you're successful, at that moment you always humble yourselves. You make yourselves small before me. Nasati gedula la'avram. So Hashem says, I gave greatness and wealth in all ways, spiritual and physical, to Avram. Omalofonai. So what did Avram say? Anochi ofar ve'efer. I am dust and ashes. Avram, who was lifted up to a place above the world, said about himself, Anochi ofar ve'efer, that I am dust and ashes. L'moyshe ve'aron. I gave greatness to Moshe Rabbeinu and to Aaron HaKohen, and I gave them greatness. I gave them greatness. They had every reason in the world to feel themselves. They had every reason in the world not to empty themselves out of their own set, of their own presence. And what did they say? V'nachnuma, who are we? V'nachnuma, who are we? We're nothing. L'David, I gave greatness to David HaMelech. I made David HaMelech king over the world. Omar Anuchi Talas V'Layish. And David HaMelech says, I am a worm, not a person. I am nothing. I'm absolutely nothing. Aval Oivde Kachovim Einam Kain. Idol worshippers are not like this. Idol worshippers are not like this. Means the nations of the world are not this way. Nasati gedula l'Nimrod. I gave greatness to Nimrod. I made him powerful. I made him a great warrior and successful in his battles. Omar, what did he say? Hava nivna lanu ir. Let us build a city, a tower of Babel, to go and conquer. To go and conquer God, to destroy God. Leparo, I gave greatness to Paro, the king of Egypt. Omar, mi Hashem. And he said, who is God? I am everything. And this is what the Ramak meant with the words that we began with last week. But it's Kedai to own the Ramak, which is now available in English, that I've said many times in Shiurim, to learn the Ramak Sefer, the Talmud Devar, the palm tree of Devar, that's now in English, and with a very simple translation. It's Kedai to learn. It's a small little Sefer. It's such a big God and such a small Sefer. Rav Moshe Cordovero. He's the brother-in-law of the Reb Shloim Lalkevitz, who composed Lecha Doidi. It's from the Gedolim, the brother-in-law of the Lecha Doidi. Reb Moshe Cordovero wrote the Pardes Rimonim, or Yoker, great, great Svarim, astounding Svarim in Kabbalah. But the Talmud Devar is not a Kabbalistic book. So the Ramak, when we return to the words of the Ramak there in his chapter on Malchus, Ha'eich Yagil Ha'odem Atzma of Midas Malchus, how does one familiarize himself and become used to the Midah of Malchus? And he wrote, the Yosem Atzma Tomit Ke'oni, one should make oneself always impoverished, poor. V'yamid atzma lifnei koinai kedal shorel mischanein. Now, the words are important, every word. And one should stand oneself, place oneself before his creator as a poor man asking and begging, beseeching and begging. And then he writes afterwards, V'yachnia levavo. You should humble your heart. V'ya'ani atzmo. And cause yourself to be poor. Uma gam be'ez tfilosof shezu segul nifla. And this is particularly something that you should engage in, this humbling of the self. This is something you should engage in particularly at the time of davening. Shlomach said it's a school in the floor. It's an awesome, awesome schooler. Help for a person in davening. Before I continue to explain this, and what is the meaning of standing in the presence of the Shechina, I want to read you a short tefillah that's found in the remarkable Sefer that is not in English and probably will never be in English. Oh, it's hard to say nowadays. Shouldn't be translated to English. The Tavkuf Tesvav Tfilas, the 515 Tfilas of the Ramchal, Rabbi Moshe Chaim Lutzato. You know that before the Moshe Rabbeinu davened 515 Tfilas, the equivalent of the word Veschanon, in order for Hashem to allow him to enter into the land, and he wasn't allowed. And there's a work by the Ramchal, Tavkuf Tesvav Tfilas. 515 tefillos of the Ramchal, of Moshe Chaim Lutzato, which generally very Kabbalistic in nature, so not for us, at least not now. But I want to read with you, to share with you a short tefillah. I'm going to go through it very quickly, to see how the Ramchal longs for Malchus. What does it mean to want Malchus? What does it mean to serve Hashem in this way? The Ramchal, as you know, is the author of the Nesil Sharm and the Derech Hashem, Das Tunis, many, 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 many great works. So this is the tefillah. Kel Achad Yachid Miyuchad. God who is one, alone, and unique. Hare tefilo she Yisrael olos lefanecha mitach shivron lev. The tefilos of the Jewish people rise before you from a broken heart. Shivron halev. V'kama malochim bale gaiva shesamta shoymim lepsocha. And how many angels, conceited angels, great, powerful, and conceited angels stand at the gates above? And these great and conceited and powerful angels are trying to push away the tefillos of the prayers of the Jewish people, so they shouldn't be allowed to enter into your presence. But Hashem, you know, you've promised that whoever seeks you with a broken heart, Hashemim Ashpilim Gavasim Lifnayim, then immediately those proud angels humble themselves in the presence of a humble tefillah, of the tefillah of a simple person, of a humble person. Umiyad Menichim Aysom Lekaneis, and the angels immediately step aside to allow these tefillahs to enter. The Chesiv is written in Tehillim. Tefillah la'ani kiyatayv. The prayer of the poor man, whose tefillah shu'aytiv kol shoymim mipanav, has the power to remove, to cause there to be removed all the shoymim, all the guards. Va'ata nyu Hashem. Atam is Garla Hagayim. Hashem, with people who are proud, with human beings who are conceited, you relate to them also in a way of gaiva. In other words, if there are people who approach you with conceit, then Hashem, you behave towards them with conceit. In other words, you make yourself great and powerful and stubborn and unbending. Va'anav alanavim. But to those who approach you with humility, Hashem, you make yourself so humble. Mishum is galav, hanachatim is galav. The one who is proud before you is haughty. You show him haughtiness. You show him your own pride. Miyad nishra biyad hashoimim. And you send that person and his tefillos into the hands of those guards, of those angels. Vayisim by kama dinim kashim. And God forbid, those angels are given permission to carry out some terrible, terrible punishments. Lidchai sayisim in hashar shalcha. And to cast this person, the haughty person, away from your gate. But the person who seeks you in humility, Atanasa Anavima, you yourself become humble together with the person. What's the teva, what's the nature of a truly humble person? He lets everybody in. He's not makpid. He's not stubborn. He's not strict. He doesn't stand on ceremony. The Anav shows everybody favor, and the Anav, the humble person, gives everyone a chance. Miyad Hashemim Estalkim Yimenu. The guards, the angels, will immediately have to leave such a person. That means despite the person's avarice, despite the person's sins. Karav Hashem Lachal. Hashem is close to all those who call to him in truth. Truth means humility. Such a poor man is allowed in your presence, and he's allowed to speak to you and cry to you. Not only that, but the moment that such a humble prayer approaches you, you listen to it, you accept it. Those tefillos of the haughty that remain outside the gate are not heard by Hashem and not listened to. But the prayers that enter, you certainly listen to. Hashem never, ever is disgusted or turns away the prayers of a poor man. And the poor man pours his heart out before you. And you correct all of his problems. You help him with all of his shortcomings. Ramchal saying is begging, look Hashem, look at the praise of the Jewish people. They come from such broken hearts, they come from such humility, broken hearts, broken spirits. Haloi tizgal aleihem. So Hashem, can't you reveal yourself to them? V'yishomu lefanecha, can't they be heard by you, Hashem? Can't you listen to them? Kevan tashmei sam miyad tamali barachmim. Since you hear them, then please be filled right away with compassion. V'cholam adreig shulcha yurachmim legabeim. In every way, you should relate to them with compassion. V'chol kikuleim tesakin, and fix and repair all of their problems. U'mishem espalu lefanecha begayva. But the person who davens to you with conceit, with a sense of self-assuredness, of being a filled vessel. All of Nemar, regarding those people, the prophet says that with their tongues, with their mouths, they lie to you. In other words, they say that they need you. They go to Shemoneh Esrei and they say, Atachainen, you give intelligence. They say, V'sein broch al pnei adama, you give us parnasa, you give us a living. But really, really inside themselves, they think that it's all from their own efforts, from their own intelligence, and it's their own success. Those are the balagaiva. Those are the ones who are against the malchus, who are enemies of the kingdom. So they're liars. They say that they depend on you. They say they believe in you. They say that you're their own, that they serve you and you're the king, but they feel themselves very, very, very royal. Shekerhu, it's a lie. Psalm Shemesar Bidvarav, and their words are filled, are mixed with all sorts of distortions. Miad Namarbo, and immediately what is said about such a person, Zevach Rishoim Toeva, the sacrifice of the Rosh of the wicked one, is disgusting in God's eyes. Therefore, Hashem, you distance yourself from these people and you don't become close to them. With all that they call to you, you maintain a distance. But for the one who breaks his heart and spirit before you, his tefillah is able to rise without any shells, without any separations. Shem kosh v'tevin, without any husks and what's it called? You know, it grows on the wheat, the husks and this, you know, the different the chaff, without any chaff. Elachit and the kiyah. The prayers of the humble are like chit and the kiyah, like pure sorlas, you know, beautiful, beautiful flower. B'chav beis oisya shall appear with the 22 letters of the mouth. B'hem es korbani lachmi li shayrech lachem naki vadayin. Hashem, you have referred to the sacrifices of your people as being like delicious and pure bread that you eat, that you accept. Meaning the 22 letters of the olive base of the poor man davening. And he says something we're not allowed to say, which you're all going to want to know. And he ends, Rebbein Kala Alamim, Master of all worlds. Hari Tikvaseinu Alecha. All our hope is in you. That's all we have nothing. All our hope is in you. Shono Ein Lanu Koach Lamud Neged Kitruge Samach Mem HaRasha. We have no power to stand up against the accusations of the evil one. All we could ask for is that you reveal yourself to us and accept us like poor people who have nowhere else to turn. Miyad, Yayomar Banu, let it be immediately said, Hashem, let it be immediately said regarding us, Yichalitz Ani Banyu, that the poor man will become released to his poverty, will become freed. And listen to the ending. V'chein Toshia Melech HaMashiach, and Hashem, save, redeem, spare, Melech HaMashiach. Shnem about Tzadik v'noshev hu ani roichev al chamor, who is described as the poor man riding upon the donkey. Kilo l'netzach yishak achevyon. It can't be that forever you will forget the one who is poor. Li'yishuascha kivisi Hashem. For your salvation, I long. That's one of the easiest tefillahs. Ramchal. That's Malchus. It's a taste of Malchus. I know it was a little bit long, and I'm sorry if it bored you. But not, God forbid, the Ramchal is not boring, Chalila. I don't mean to apologize to Ramchal, but I mean to sit and to hear an entire paragraph is difficult. It means that they're angels the guy over here means that they're powerful and strong. It doesn't mean that they're egomaniacs. What I mean, they don't have free choice. Gaiva, there are many words that are used in different ways. And it doesn't always mean the same thing. It doesn't mean somebody who thinks, you know, he's more than he is. It means strong, powerful, mighty. Proud means that these are the angels when they're behaving in such a way that they are superior to men. When a Jew is humble, then the angels are inferior to that person. So the word Gaiva doesn't mean mamish Gaiva.
What is the proper way then to be satisfied with your blessings? Because it is so easy to come to avoid to take upon yourself. What does one say when you know it is such a problem?
That's what davening is all about. That's what we're learning. That's what davening. Davening. Every Shemoneh Esrei is to do that. Every Shemoneh Esrei. You know, did I tell you last week the story from the Minchas Elazar? I don't know if I told you Maisif Namunka Chirabi last week. I said on Shabbos, there was I saw from the Minchas Elazar, my father was privileged to see. So Minchas Elazar died before the war. The Munka Chirabi. He was a fire. The prime minister, the kings used to go make appointments to ask to see him. And my father remembers that if a store was open in Munkach on Shabbos, the next day you would find it burned to the ground. There was no messing around with the Munkach. He was a very holy person. So the Munkach once had to go to another country for some reason, for some very big mitzvah, something very important. And the way that it worked then, it was those few years before the war, you know, it wasn't easy to cross the border. Bechal for Jews, as you know, in Europe, it was never something that was taken for granted. So the Munkacha had to go to a different country, I don't know where, didn't say. And what they did was, I don't know if it was Davka because he was a rabbi, Davka because they were Jews, but the Goyim, now the rabbi was already an old man, he wasn't well, and they had to walk a huge distance. And you know, rebbes didn't generally do that. It's royalty. So the shamus was carrying the big, and the shamus was a healthy young person, the rebbe was schlepping, and they had to climb also, it says that, to climb, and all this. So the shamus, the servant, felt so, so terrible to see his rebbe, you know, to have to go through this. So the shamus was crying. He says, "Hey, look at Rebbe. You know, I'm so sorry. I feel so bad for the Rebbe that he has to schlep like this. I wish there was something I could do." So the shamus said that the Rebbe turned to him with a fire in his eyes, and like held on to his beard and payas and said, "By my beard and payas, one Shmona Esrei on a regular weekday morning is much, much harder work for me than this trip." That's what he said. That's an amazing story. He wasn't exaggerating. Wasn't it like a nice story? This is work. 30, 40 kilometers, mountains. When a person throws his kairos into davening, a person understands what it means to stand in the presence of the king. That itself is the answer to the question, but one has to understand davening. How does one not take blessings for granted? It's by remembering the one who gave them to you. And how does one remember the one who gave them to you? It's through tefillah. That's what we're learning. It's a pointed, good question. So the Rambam writes, the Rambam, who you know, is not known for any drama, right? So the Rambam writes in the fourth chapter, the laws of davening, laws of tefillah, Ketzed hi hakavana. So what is the primary intention? What should a person think of when he's davening? He's referring to Shmona Esrei. In general, tefillah, stam tefillah means Shmona Esrei. What should a person think of? Sheyapanes libo mikol ha-machshavos. One should clear his mind of all thoughts. That's a very big avoda. That's something we'll talk about a lot, some techniques. Mitzvah, later on down the road, we'll talk about simple techniques of how to clear the mind. Learn techniques. There are exercises that one can take, one must take in order to daven. The Rebbe from PSS wrote a great deal about this. Sheyapanes libo mikol ha-machshavos is to empty one's heart of all thoughts. Vira atzmo, and one should see oneself, kilo oimed lifnei ha-shechina. You should see yourself as if you're standing before the Shechina. No. So there's a famous discussion that's found in the writings of Reb Chaim Halevi, the Brisker Rav, Reb Chaim Halevi Soloveitchik. It's a discussion in Halacha. Because there seems to be a contradiction in the writings of the Rambam. In one place, I'm not going to go into details in this, but in one place the Rambam seems to be saying that if a person in Shmona Esrei at least, minimally understood what he was saying by the first blessing, by Magen Avraham, if at least a person understood the first bracha, then he has fulfilled his requirement of tefillah. Even though the rest of the time his mind was wandering, if at least for the first bracha he knew what he was saying, he's yotze. He's fulfilled the mitzvah. But then in another place in the Rambam's writings, in Hilchos Tefillah and Laws of Davening, the Rambam seems to say that if a person is not aware that he's standing before the king, then his Shemoneh Esrei is absolutely worthless. Even if he knows what he's saying, it's totally worthless. The entire Shemoneh Esrei. So Rabbi Chaim Halevi explains that there are two levels of intention. He does this in a very beautiful halachic way. But there are two levels of kavana. One level of kavana is perish amilos. That means to have the kavana what you're saying, to know what you're saying. And for that, minimally, you have to know what you're saying for the first bracha of Shemoneh Esrei. Minimally. You should learn the whole thing and understand and read in English, whatever language to know. But minimally, one should understand what one is saying. That's called the kavana for the perish amilos, to know what the words mean. Pasha, to know what the words mean. And regarding that, if at least you know what the words mean for the first bracha, you fulfilled your obligation. Even if you don't know what the words mean the rest of Shemoneh Esrei, you fulfilled your obligation. That's one level of kavana, of intent, of concentration. But there's a different kavana, the one that the Rambam is talking about here in the sentence that I read to you. That kavana that tells a person that he's standing in front of the king, that he's standing in the presence of the Shekhinah, of the divine presence. That awareness that you're standing in the presence of Hashem must be with you every moment of tefillah, and if it's missing for a moment, then the tefillah is worthless. Therefore, we have certain physical techniques that were given to us by the Chachamim to maintain this awareness. One is standing still with your feet together and so on. All the halachas have to do with tefillah there to at least create within us, even if I don't know what I'm saying, but I know who I'm talking to. I don't know what it is exactly that this is about, but I know that I'm speaking to the master of the universe. That minimal awareness that you're standing in front of the king, therefore this is going to be determined by how you dress. If you dress in a disgraceful way when you daven chalila, if a person is dressed improperly when he or she davens, so that means that you're saying in effect that you're not standing in the presence of a king. If in the middle of your davening, you know, you're blowing bubbles with a gum or something, I mean, it's not, the issue here is not what you're thinking, the issue is what your posture is, before whom you stand. Yes.
So why is that to take on more importance to the tefillah? If you're supposed to feel like you're in the presence of the Shekhinah all the time, then why would it be different?
No. Regarding all the time, the Ramah says at the beginning of Shulchan Aruch that that's the maila, that's the great advantage and highest level of the tzaddikim who walk always before God. We're talking about the most basic requirement of every Jew anytime he davens. Shavisa Shemnag Disomen is a wonderful thing, but the Ramah says at the beginning of Shulchan Aruch, that's probably what you're referring to, the Ramah says, Beferish, which is the exact words of the Rambam from the Mor Nevuchim, that this is the great, great aspiration that perhaps one time in my life that I should reach a level finally where I feel that I'm always in His presence. But by tefillah, it's a basic, minimal requirement that you're serving God and standing in His presence. There's a big difference. The Rambam didn't say that you have to know what it is. Okay, so I'm going to try to help you. Let's learn. Okay, good. You're right. Let's learn. You know, obviously, anything that a person learns in Torah is going to help you understand, yeah? Everything the person learns helps you understand. But let's learn directly this subject. That's you know, how these people are planted in the audience to give a cue for the next. No, you're right. That's what we have to talk about, right? So how does one? What does that mean to stand before the Shekhinah? Yeah. So does that mean? So first of all, tefillah is called avodah shebelev. Everybody knows that. It's called the work of the heart. Service of the heart. Ezi avodah shebelev. The Gemara says in Tainas, tefillah. La'avda b'chol levavchem. To serve Hashem with all your hearts. And the Ram says, that's davening. That magical word, avodah, serving, that automatically establishes a relationship between a servant and a king. The word avodah shebelev, that we call, that davening is called the work of the heart. Service of the heart. That means, most basically, the understanding that I am omed lefnei ha-melech, that I am standing before the king. And that when I daven, it's navodas eved lemelech, that my davening is the process of serving the king, because it's called avoda. Davening is called avoda. And the maisei of davening, my act of davening, equals mamish. Placing myself before the king as an empty servant, a completely dependent eved before him. Which is what the Ramak meant, Rav Moshe Kordover meant, when he said, Yosem Atzma, you should place yourself like a poor man. The Yamid Atzma lefnei kono kedal. And you should stand yourself, situate yourself, before your creator like a poor man begging and asking. That's Malchus. So now, what does the Rambam mean when he says that you should see yourself before the Shekhinah? Now the way to learn this properly would be, of course, to go into a level of understanding that would take us into terms and ideas that are not allowed to be discussed in public. Shekhinah, like everything else in Torah, that if one doesn't get to the bottom of things, you don't really understand it completely. Shekhinah is a very deep thing. The Jewish people are identified with the Shekhinah. Rachel Imenu is identified with the Shekhinah. It's a deep thing. The Shekhinah. What does the Rambam mean in a way that you and I can relate to and understand and not be confused by? What does it mean to stand before the Shekhinah? What does it mean to stand before the Shekhinah? That name, Shekhinah, which in English they translate Divine Presence, that name, Shekhinah, always is used in order to describe the intimacy in the relationship between God and His people. It's a name of great intimacy, therefore it has that feminine quality to it. The Shekhinah appears to the tzaddikim, you know, as a woman, as a beautiful woman wearing dark clothing at night and so on. The Shekhinah means a kurva, closeness and intimacy between Hashem and Knesset Yisrael. So the Ramchal writes in Das Tunis, Umoshal Noah Himshal in Yinzeh Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Zal Be'in Yam Espali Lov Yisbarach. Ramchal writes that the Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai has given us a beautiful way, a moshel, to understand davening. Omar, Rabbi Shimon said, "Sheyesh mishu ke'eved she'eino chaviv kol kach lefnei ha-melech." There is a servant who is not so beloved by the king. The king doesn't care for him so much. Shema'achri ha-melech yisoz kolo. When the king's back is turned, the king doesn't really have great affection for him. So this servant calls to the king, but the king's back is turned. And he raises his voice, this servant. He's asking for something that he needs, the servant. And the king says, okay, you know, give him what he's asking for, it's fair. What he's asking for is fair. So the king tells one of the ministers, give him what he wants. So of course, what he's asking for is fair. But the king never turned his face to him. And he never looked at him. He didn't look at him. That's one type of Eved. There was an Eved, there was a servant who was beloved by the king, who the king loves. And the king receives this beloved servant with a beautiful countenance, with a smile. And the king turns his face to him. And the king discusses with him what he needs. Discusses, talks to him. You'd hear stories about how the Rebbe Zusha used to talk to Rabbi Shalom. How the Kedushas Levi, the Rebbe Levi Yitzchak, used to talk to Hashem. Our ancestors, our grandparents and great-grandparents were more God-fearing than us, but they spoke to Hashem with such affection and closeness. They were able to speak to Hashem as a friend, as a... Tata in Himmel. The tzaddikim used to call out in the middle of davening, Tyre, Tata, precious father. You hear what the Ramchal is saying? Tefillah, and he said this is what davening means. Standing before the Shechina means feeling a closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu so that you could sense, you can't see with your eyes. Well, we'll talk about visualization. That's a very important thing in davening too, but we have time for that. Visualization is very important in davening. To be able to have a good imagination. Which, partially again, that's we get to the end of this discussion to go through techniques. Which we'll talk about for weeks and weeks, different techniques. Mitzvah. But to daven means to imagine, to see yourself as being so close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to feel a closeness to Him, as the King, who in a smiling and beautiful way, has turned away from all of His preoccupations, from His kingdom, and turns around to you, the absolutely lowly and humble and empty servant, and smiles to you and says, Tyre Kin, my precious one, what is it that's hurting you? What is it that's bothering you? What is it that you need? To stand before the Shechina means to stand with a sense of intimacy and closeness. Now, to understand this, we have to learn a very deep thing, the Gemara. It's going to be a little bit tight with the time, so we'll start it. The Gemara says, it's on the 34th page of Brachas, Ma'isib Rebbe Chanina ben Dosa, one of the great miracle workers among the Tanoim is Rebbe Chanina ben Dosa. He's the one that was able to make the vinegar light, burn. Many other miracles from Rebbe Chanina ben Dosa. The Gemara that says, woe to the snake that met Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa. So the Gemara says, usually it's woe to the person who meets a snake. But regarding Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, the Gemara says, woe to the snake that met Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa. Because it's the story that happened to the Gemara, that went to take a bite of him and the snake died. So the Gemara says, Ma'isi Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa. There's a Ma'isi with Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, a story that happened with Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa. Shahalach Luma Torah Etzor Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rabbi Chanina was a student of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. He went to study with the Gadol Hador, the great leader of the generation, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. V'chola b'noish Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. And the son of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was deathly ill. Omalai. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said to him, said to Rabbi Chanina, Chanina b'ni, Bakesh l'rachmim v'yichyeh. My child, Chanina, please daven to Hashem. Beg for Hashem's compassion so that my child may live. So it says in the Gemara, Hini Yechroisha ben Birkov, that Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa placed his head between his knees. This was a very powerful tefillah. A tefillah that comes from the very beginning, to be completely, absolutely poor. You understand what that means? Like a baby inside the mother's womb, like a fetus, where the head is connected to the knees. So Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa sits and he puts his head between his knees. He returns to mamish nothing. And he begged and he davened to Hashem, and the child lived, the child was well. Omer Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, Il molech etir ben Zakkai, Roishai ben Birkov kolayim kulu lahoyim ashgichim alav. He said about himself that if ben Zakkai, if I would place my head between my knees and scream all day long, no one would pay attention to me. It wouldn't work. It wouldn't work. So Omer Laishto, his wife heard this and she was very upset. Yeah, the wife is upset. B'chi Chanina galim yucha? Your student Chanina is greater than you, is holier than you? Rabbi Shlomo was annoyed by this. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said that if I would have davened like that the whole day, it wouldn't have worked. And so the Rabbi Shlomo says, what are you saying? Are you saying that he's greater than you? Chanina is greater than you? Amalah, so Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said to her, no. Elohu daimek ke'eved lefnei ha'melech, v'ani daimek ke'sar lefnei ha'melech. No, but he is like a servant before the king, and I am like a minister before the king. Rashi writes, ke'eved, like a servant before the king, ben bayis nichnas v'yotzei b'lo rishus. A servant who can come and go without permission. A minister has to have an audience, right? A minister has to be given permission. The servant goes back and forth. He brings a little water, brings some lunch, gets a broom, goes here, goes back and forth, ben bayis nichnas v'yotzei b'lo rishus. But a minister goes only certain times. It's an amazing Gemara. Let's just try to understand the tip of it. What does that mean? No, I'm greater, but I'm like a minister and he's like a servant. What does that mean?
Is that similar to the person that feels not loved as much by Hashem?
It's connected to that. I remember last week, we learned from the Shari Orah, and 2 weeks ago I think I already mentioned it, that the Shari Orah, one of the great Mekubalim Kabbalists, said that the name Aleph Dalet Nun Yud is the only way we can enter into Hashem's presence with that name, Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. That's how we come to Hashem, that's our ticket. Meaning that Hashem is the master and I'm his servant. Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, that's the way into Hashem. Right? Nechnosen l'snei ha'melech, v'ein derech bo'olim l'ros p'nei ha'melech yisbarach, elai deis Hashem zeh. The only way to enter into Hashem's presence, to go into him whenever you like, is when you use the name Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, which means a servant to a master. A relationship of a servant. That's Aleph Dalet Nun means Adon, means a master. Therefore, the Gemara tells us, halach, that every bracha has to have malchus in it. Every blessing we make has to have malchus. Baruch atah Hashem, Elokeinu melech ha'olam. Those brachas that don't have, and how that's discussed in halach, it's not for now. But a bracha has to have malchus. To come before the king, there's the name Yudke Vavke, which we pronounce Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, and there's Melech. Now here's the point. But I have to say it very quickly. There's a half hour talk in 5 minutes. In order to daven before the Shechina, in order to feel that you're in the Shechina's presence, you have to imagine yourself so close, to imagine that Hashem has such a deep affection for you, has such a deep, deep, complete love for you, that you know inside of you that you can come before Him any time with anything that's bothering you, anything that worries you. You feel comfortable that you could come into Him and speak to Him and talk to Him. You go back and forth. Below Rishus, without rishus, even without permission. Without permission means even though you did avarice, even though you did sins, even though you have many, many shortcomings, that means without permission. Without permission. And where does this feeling come from? Sof kol sof, it's a chutzpah. It's a chutzpah. The answer goes back all the way through the Pesach that we learned a few weeks ago. Because to the rest of the world, Hashem is a king, just a king. But to the Jewish people, even though he's a king, he's also our father. And we're his bnei bayis, we're his children. We're from his house. So therefore we know. Nobody else knows this. Every single Jew, no matter who he is, no matter how small he is, no matter how far he is from Hashem, every single Jew knows. And every Jew can concentrate and think and feel inside of himself that his mom is standing inside the Beis HaMikdash, inside Hashem's house, screaming and calling to Hashem, which is one of the deepest kavanas to have when you're diving, to imagine yourself by the Kosel or by the Beis HaMikdash. And not only that you're allowed to feel that way, but you must see that. That the Shechina is mamish with you, Hashem is with you every second. What does that mean that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said that I am a minister and he's a servant? So there's a difference between Torah and Tefillah, davening and learning, between learning and davening. Learning is called Chaye Olam, eternal life. Davening is called Chaye Shah, life of the moment, life of the hour. That's what's called in Chazal. Torah is called Chaye Olam, eternal life, and davening is called moment, life of the moment. What's the difference? When you learn Torah, when you're learning Torah, everything is beautiful. Torah tells you about Hashem's greatness. Torah speaks about the perfection of the world. Torah shows you Hashem's mind. When you learn Torah, you're feeling great. You're feeling exalted and lifted and have a sense of self, being connected to God's thoughts, like a minister of the king. Through the eyes of Torah, everything is Tov Ma'od. If you study the writings of the Ramchal, then you know that no matter what happens to you, no matter what difficulties and God forbid suffering, it's good, because the Torah tells you everything is good. That's called eternal life. That's the life of a minister. But there's something else that's called Chayei Shah, the life of the moment. That means the helpless, frightened child who comes every minute to his father with some little thing that he called me that name. I'm worried about going to this place. I'm frightened by this place. Where every little thing means something. The life of the moment, tefillah is the life of the moment. Let me read you a sentence that summarizes this whole thing. When it comes to learning, the higher the intellect, the greater the mind, the greater the level. In other words, the greater the minister, the greater Torah learning. That the greater in understanding, he has an advantage over the other one in learning. Mashayana came, but tefillah by davening is just the opposite. Adarabba, Hamadregas and Kafiachisaran, who is the greatest davener in the world? The one who feels like he has absolutely nothing. This is the prayer of the poor man. And that, he says, is the meaning of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. The story of Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, the Eved Visar. Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai said about himself, I am a man of Torah, I am in truth the leader of the generation in Torah. Therefore, I have this deep understanding. But because I am connected on the deepest level to that exalted part of godliness, to that royal and holy part of godliness, that means there's a certain elitism. It's a certain type, there are rules and regulations, and there's a certain, what's it called, protocol. There's a protocol when you're dealing in such a level with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, in that world of Tov Ma'od of Torah, in that perfect world. It's a sar. But Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is an Eved Lifnei HaMelech. Not Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa. Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa is an Eved, his mamish, his servant before the king, who comes and goes with every tiny little thing in his heart, in his mind. He brings a mamish to Kadosh Baruch Hu. He brings it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, every tiny thing he brings to Hashem. Therefore, if I would the whole day daven like that, I wouldn't be answered. Hashem listens to everybody, certainly to Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. But Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, he's nothing like me in Torah. He's not compared to me in Torah. But what an Eved. What an Eved Hashem. How humble. How humble. Because with davening, to the extent that you feel empty, that's where davening comes from. We're learning to the extent that you feel full. Therefore, he's like an avid Lufnei Melech, and I'm like a sar Lufnei Melech. Bez Hashem next week, we're going to explain how that's connected davka to the Beis HaMikdash, is connected to the 3 weeks also. And that leads us into the subject of David HaMelech, the most humble, and to understand Malchus and Mashiach, who's called the poor one, and how that all connects to Mitzvah Hashem to davening is what we'll begin with next week, Bez Hashem.